Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on 12/2. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Zachas of New South Wales. A python, Jeremy has taught me, has unusual habits in the springtime. For example, they wrestle on the beach as to who is the bigger python or tougher python. The one who loses puts his head in the sand and wanders off. Pythons are also understood to be prevalent, especially in Queensland. Pythons don't have venom. And pythons are mostly a threat to small dogs, mice, that sort of thing that they can squeeze for their food source. But pythons are also considered climbers. Sometimes they exist in your roof. Okay, fine. You hear some noise in the middle of the night. You're not going to get out of bed and see what it is. You assume it's your local python. But, Jeremy, I never saw a python fly. What am I looking at?
Well, John, this is an astounding feat of, I don't know, physics and gravity-defying behavior for a python. And I must say too, John, that this isn't just any python. And what you're looking at here is an ordinary suburban home there in the Sunshine Coast. So we're looking at the state of Queensland, which is on the top right corner of the Australian map. And this python was crawling around in the roof cavity, and had managed to get on top of the roof. And that's pretty normal for Queensland. You always have pythons around the home because pythons love to warm and they love to make homes in people's houses. The problem with this python, John, and why it's made worldwide coverage, is the size, the sheer size of this thing. So this was a 16-foot, so a 5-meter-long python, which people are calling the anaconda of Queensland now. And not only did it slither around on the roof and was seen by the homeowners, it then managed with its super strength, because, I mean, a 16-foot python has a lot of muscle in it, it managed to get from the roof of the house to the nearest tree, which was 2 meters, so 6 feet away, just by using its stomach and back muscles alone. So this python not only got across a gap of 2 meters, defying gravity as it went, it knew what it was doing, and it curled itself up around the tree there and basically hung out for the rest of the day. But the best part about this, John, was people were there to film it. So this is not just one of those urban myths that will do the rounds forevermore. This is actually completely confirmed and true. And apparently, John, it turns out that pythons here in Australia have been undergoing many, many developments over, you know, recent times and recent years where they're actually starting to get bigger. And that's in part because we've had rain, which created a lot of mice, which then gave them a lot of food. And this 16-foot monster of a python is just proof that, you know what, our snakes, we thought we knew them well, but they are actually getting bigger and scarier. But the good thing is, John, pythons, as we keep telling people, they are not venomous and they will rarely attack humans unless very much provoked. So Hopefully this python has found a better home than just around this poor old family's roof. But honestly, John, a 16-foot-long python, that's definitely a new one for Australia.
I'm leaving the neighborhood. I'm not even bothering to pack. I'm calling Uber and saying, getting out of here. There's a 15-foot python weighing 15 kilos. What is that? That's like 40 pounds. It's big. And it's living in the tree until it decides to come back to the house. That's what we're going to excuse, right? That's what we have. And it stays in the neighborhood. What, Jeremy, that's okay with the neighborhood?
Well, it actually is. And this is the funny thing I think about Australians and probably Queenslanders especially. When they know a snake's there, the first reaction isn't to get rid of it. It's actually to cohabitate with it. And in the case of a python, while family pets are typically kept inside in Queensland and for this exact reason, it doesn't really alter what people do. It doesn't alter their behaviors. They just know that this snake is around. And you know what? They'll probably see it curled up amongst their trees. They'll find it curled up amongst their fences and their letterboxes. And they'll probably just acknowledge it and continue on their normal day. They'll give it a bit of a wave. The python will probably acknowledge anybody walking past, but it won't pose a threat. So here in Australia, while we talk about the snakes being really a bit of a threat to certain people and certain animals, we have to live with them. And that's what's happening here, John. People are not moving out of the neighborhood. They're just going to be like, how are you doing?
Jeremy, it's 16 feet long, okay? I have a Springer Spaniel. I'm not trusting that Springer Spaniel to be by himself in the yard. I mean, it's a medium-sized dog. Anything smaller than this, it'd be extremely dangerous. Or does Australia not allow small dogs?
No, well, actually, John, I have a Spoodle, so about the same size as your pup as well. And honestly, in Queensland, they do keep their smaller animals inside, and it's for this exact reason. The bigger dogs, the bigger Alsatians, and I guess the bigger Labradors, they do fine outside, but small pets, small animals are protected. And in Queensland, they often have on sale in pet stores hutches for like rabbits and smaller guinea pigs and animals and pets like that, that are actually snake-proof. They're actually very well built and very well protected just to stop these pythons and natural predators getting in. So the reality is, John, we can have them, but it's at our own risk, and we do a lot to protect our furry little critters.
All right, I was exempting the pythons from the understanding that everything in Australia is exotic and will try to kill you. But now we move to pythons too. This story requires some delicate approach. A woman in Queensland, I believe, is it Queensland, Jeremy, or is she in South Australia?
It was actually New South Wales, so it's in a different part of the country.
All right, New South Wales was explaining of forgetfulness and headaches. And she went to her neurologist, and they did a number of tests and couldn't find anything immediately wrong. But they started to, I'm not quite sure why they elected surgery, just to see what was wrong with her brain. Well, Jeremy, I can't tell the rest of the story. You take it over.
Absolutely, John. And what had happened was they'd done brain scans and they found what looked like it could have been a cancerous tumor. And I believe that's why they elected to do surgery, because the position of the tumor was in a place where she would likely survive the operation, but it would also likely relieve her of her forgetfulness and headaches. So the surgeons went in. It was going to be a relatively straightforward operation for brain surgery, that is. And lo and behold, they didn't get far into the operation after they opened her up when they saw something peculiar. And at first, according to the story, the surgeon saw what he thought was maybe an unusual new cancer, sort of like a brown, long, cancerous line. Didn't know what to make of it. So they proceeded to continue with the operation, assuming that this could have been a cancer or some kind of malignant growth of tissue. But then as they were doing it, the thing started to move. And this is when the surgeon knew that they had something completely different on their hands. This was not what they were expecting to see. And proceeded with the operation, actually delicately pulled this long thing out of the woman's brain. And by the time they finished, what they had in their hand was a 15-centimeter live worm. So, of course, they quickly got it into a solution to protect it, to preserve it. The thing stayed alive, which was the most amazing thing, in the saline solution, managed to close the woman up. She recovered. She's memory loss disappeared. Basically, headaches almost instantly disappeared. But they then sent the worm away to be forensically tested. And what it came back as, John, was it was not just any worm. It was actually a parasite from a python. And this is where the story gets even stranger, because somehow this woman had managed to not only get the parasite from the python, but she had ingested it somehow into her body, and that thing had found its way into the brain, which is completely, I guess, quite counter to what you'd expect. You'd expect it maybe to go into the stomach. After much more discussions with the woman and further investigations, they think that because she was such an avid botanist and really enjoyed collecting grasses and basically as a hobby, would explain to the local kids and locals in the area about the grasses. So she was basically a naturist. They think that when she was out collecting a certain type of grass, there was a python that had been living in the grass. She hadn't washed her hands and had somehow ingested the parasite that way. So, John, I guess the moral of the story is, now we can't even assume our grass is safe. We now have to watch out with everything we do. And it's not just a direct threat from the snakes. They can actually get us through their viruses and parasites.
So a parasite that ordinarily lives in a python's brain suddenly turns up into a human brain. And pythons are harmless, right? Okay, fine. But I'm going to say, this python, I didn't just leave the neighborhood. I have a ticket out of here. I'm going to Indonesia. Maybe they won't have pythons carrying round. This is a roundworm. It has a name, Ophidascaris robertsi, which was recognized by the physicians who extracted it. Its habitat is in the brain of a carpet python that can be 16 feet long and live in the roof. All right, that's enough scary. We don't even need venom this week. Jeremy Zagas, New South Wales. It's time for a positive story. And for weeks now, we've had negative stories about cricket, which I'm learning. I'm learning all the nastiness of cricket. I want something positive. So when we come back, cricket season is beginning worldwide. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.